This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. New research finds the closures of coal-fired plants across the Ohio Valley saved more than 5,000 lives in the region. Reporter Brittany Patterson explains.
Over the last decade, many coal plants in the Ohio Valley and the country have closed due to a glut of cheap natural gas. A study published this week in the journal Nature Sustainability found the shift from coal to gas lowered nearby communities' exposure to a toxic assortment of air pollutants. Air pollution from the burning of coal is linked to respiratory health problems, heart disease, and stroke. As a result, more than 26,000 lives were saved between 2005 and 2016 by coal plant closures nationwide. One-fifth of those avoided deaths occurred in the coal-rich Ohio Valley, says the study's author, Jennifer Burney, a researcher at UC San Diego. She says the study shows there is a cost to coal beyond economics.
People, you know, have not died. That might have if those plants have been kept on.
Burney says that doesn't mean coal's main replacement, natural gas, is benign. She says more research is needed on the impacts of gas generation. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Brittany Patterson.
Sometimes creativity requires breaking away from the normal routine and focusing on your work. A boutique hotel in Fayetteville, West Virginia, allows writers and visual artists a place to get away in the winter. Eric Douglas spoke to the owners of Lafayette Flats, Sean Means and Amy McLaughlin, about the New River Gorge Creative Residency.
When we opened Lafayette Flats, one of our goals was to present a different narrative of West Virginia. And we did that first by including lots of original art and literature for our guests to peruse while they're staying with us. And then when it came towards the end of our first season, we realized that our bookings were going to be much lighter during the winter and we're going to have some space. And we thought, how could we use this to better promote the arts? And so the first idea we had was to have a writer in residence. And so the first year we did, Eric Schunkweiler was our first writer in residence, and he came in January of 2015.
Yes, and he stayed for 3 months. And then we continued with just having the writer in residence for the next 3 years. And then actually last year we changed it up a little bit and decided to expand it to visual artists as well.
So what have been some of the outcomes from it?
One thing of interest to me that happened this year, in the past, it had been primarily out of state. For a couple of years, it was exclusively out of state writers that applied for the residency. And therefore, it was out of state writers that were chosen, you know, to participate. And once we opened it up last year to visual artists as well, we had a much larger influx of applications from in-state writers and artists, which was a big change for us. So another reason why this year we decided to host three was because we had so many good applicants, and the three that really stood out to us were all West Virginia-based artists. And we decided to pick up on that theme, you know, and encourage that.
A former program resident is Matt Browning, a Charleston, West Virginia-based author. He completed his month-long residency at the end of December.
I kind of hoped, at the risk of sounding corny and cliche, that this experience would change me. And I think I learned very early on that it was going to do that. Writing this bookstore book has been fantastic, but you're flexing a different part of your muscle than you do when you write fiction. So being here has really allowed me to rediscover that part of myself.
Can we expect a new book next year? Or?
I won't finish this book that I'm writing while I'm here. You know, 4 weeks isn't enough time to write a novel, but I'm hoping to have probably 75% of a first draft done. But it's set in a fictional Appalachian town in modern day, but it's a town where old-time Appalachian traditions and customs are just what people do, and it's the way of life.
Back in Fayetteville, the art residency's founder, Sean Means, says the key to this program has been the reaction and the reception the creatives have received from the entire community.
The Fayetteville community is very welcoming anyway, and they seem to have gone over and above welcoming our creative in residences. They've had people who recognize them on the street just from social media posts and welcome them to town. But a lot of local businesses also just really they think of the residency as theirs, not just ours at Lafayette Flats. They think of it as the Fayetteville residency.
The program began as a 3-month residency. Now it is open to people interested in staying anywhere from 2 to 8 weeks. This year, 3 different creatives chose to stay 1 month each. Means and McLaughlin are already planning for next year's residencies. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Eric Douglas in Charleston.
You can find out more about the New River Gorge Creative Residency Program at Lafayette Flats in Fayetteville on their website at lafayetteflats.com. They will begin taking applications for next winter in August. The Bird and the Bee, an LA indie pop band, released Interpreting the Masters, Volume 2, a tribute to Van Halen. Vocalist Dinara George spoke with Jim Lang of Eclectopia.
Again and again and again and again, do it again, do it again, again and again.
How did the Bird and the Bee get started?
Greg was playing on my first solo album, and then I think we just clicked over musical interests and we wrote a couple songs together. Greg was just starting his career as a producer writer. So I think we thought like, oh, maybe we'll write a couple songs and we could see if somebody else wants to play them. When we started writing, we realized that we really liked what we did. So we made a whole record. He's an incredible player. And so to combine that also with being able to capture sounds as well as he does, it's a rare thing to find in a person.
So why the Roth era Van Halen?
We thought, like, let's do a whole covers record. And so we did that with Hall & Oates. We made it a volume one, and I think with the idea that we'd always do a volume two. And I think with Van Halen, as the same with Hall & Oates, we wanted to do something that we both had a real affinity for, especially in our childhood. And then also something that felt challenging. I think that's sort of how we come at it, is like taking these songs that are good songs and saying they're good songs no matter what you do to them.
Talk about the track Running with the Devil.
Well, there's no guitar in the whole album. Not one bit of guitar. That was sort of intentional. We didn't want to even touch Eddie Van Halen's playing. So the idea was that Greg would play, the piano would substitute for the guitar. That song, especially the way the record should sound, this is kind of how we should sort of veer it towards this, more of jazz and revoicing the chord and the stacked harmonies, because we wanted to make it like us, but and then still sort of pay tribute to the original, because Greg had been working on it and he sent it to me and I thought, oh yeah, this is the way, this is how we should do this album.
Running with the devil.
Let's talk about the track Ain't Talking About Love. Your voice on that is so sexy. Can I say that?
Thank you. No, yeah, for sure. I'll take it. I remember that one was kind of fun. We sort of like took a little bit more of an 80s goth kind of vibe with it. And I remember singing that song, and actually it was one of the easier ones for me to sing. I just kind of went in there and I sang it a couple times, and that was, it's like when a song kind of hits your voice in the right way. So I appreciate you saying that, because I think it was kind of it's just fun when it all sort of lines up. Yeah.
I heard the news, baby, all about your disease. Yeah, you may have all you want, baby, but I got something you need. Oh, yeah.
It's a rockin' piece, the way you guys do it.
Oh, well, thank you. I think fans don't think so, though.
What do they know? So Jamie's Crying, that's the tune I love by Van Halen, because all of this is very, very melodic. But what do you think about Jamie's Crying?
That song is so, it's so sweet, about a girl who wanted something more than just a one-night stand. And I think, I thought that was really pleasantly surprised that was what David Lee Roth was writing about. Because there's nothing snarky about it. I mean, it almost, to me, I felt like there was real compassion for something, somebody that wanted something real, you know, that wanted something that would be lasting. I think, and also having me sing it from a female perspective, I thought that was kind of an interesting new way to look at the song. Yeah, but I like that one a lot.
How about Jump? That must have been fun.
It was fun. It was, that one was a little hard. We had to kind of figure out, it's like to make sure to keep the fun of it. Like of all the Van Halen songs, I think Jump is the most mainstream. And so we kind of wanted to keep it in that vein, you know? And also reworking the keyboards with my voice. I think that was something that Greg came up with, and I thought that was a pretty genius approach to it. It was fun, and it's a super fun one to play live. I get up, and nothing gets me down. You got it tough. I've seen the toughest all around.
What's been the public reaction to what we would call essentially male hard rock, with your female perspective on that?
I mean, let's just talk about like Van Halen fans. I think it sort of divides the world, that world a little. And I completely understand that, like, for a hardcore Van Halen fan, they might think of it as sort of this weak version. Our approach was really to look at the musicality of the band and to really kind of celebrate that. And so I think that there are other hardcore Van Halen fans who recognize that, and I think appreciated that we were kind of taking these songs in different directions. And then I think these kind of rock songs, at the time they came out, it was a different world. I mean, if you look at the Van Halen videos, they're complicated for a female. I was actually more surprised that I didn't find lyrically any misogyny. It seemed a man like David Lee Roth, like a man who really loved women in a real way, you know. So, I mean, it's a great time that we're reevaluating the way that men have typically taken advantage of the females. It was a cool way to sort of renegotiate these songs, in my mind.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jim Lang.
Go ahead and jump.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.